Desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless the preaching of His Word. I've written the title on the board this morning, Forbearing One Another. I'd like to begin this morning by giving you a little scenario to establish the thought. So consider a man. He's not a bad man, not an immoral man, but just a man who never learned to let things go. Whenever someone talks a little bit too loudly, he mentions it. When a child makes noise, he comments on it. If someone forgets to greet him, he'll bring it up later. If someone has a weakness, he's pretty quick to point it out. But it doesn't stop there. At home, he corrects everything. How the dishwasher's loaded, how the towels are folded, how the children talk, how his wife phrases things, and nothing is ever just quite right. Every little irritation becomes a conversation. Every difference becomes a problem. And he comes to church, this man, and he notices every flaw that everybody has. Every mispronounced word, every note that's off key. Everybody that comes in late, every little imperfection. And he talks about them, not necessarily maliciously, but just consistently, kind of talks about what he's observing and the faults and the weaknesses, places that people could improve. Nothing is real big about this. Nothing is sinful in and of itself. Nothing's just intentional, but everything is a problem. And slowly, something begins to happen to this man. People don't argue with him. They don't quarrel with him. They don't confront him. They just start simply stepping back. At home, conversations get shorter. At work, people avoid him. And at church service, people are polite, but distant. And the man just doesn't see it. He just doesn't understand what's wrong. He doesn't understand why relationships are strained at home, at church, at work. He thinks he's being helpful because, I mean, he feels like he's pretty deserving. He has an eye, and he discerns what's wrong, and he thinks he's standing for what's right. But in reality, this man that I've tried to paint this little picture of, he hasn't learned how to give grace to people. You understand? He hasn't learned how to overlook small things. Never learned how to be patient with other people's weaknesses. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. What do you think is going to happen with this man's relationships at home? What kind of relationship do you think he'd have with his wife? What about at work? In the congregation? When we don't learn, saints, when we don't learn how to give each other some space, when we don't learn to have grace with each other, if we don't learn how to let things go sometimes, we're never going to have strong relationships with each other. And because when there's no, and I've written on the board, forbearing one another, when there is and where there is no forbearance, there's really not a lot of fellowship. Whether it's in the home, at work, or in the congregation. People may stay polite, but they're not going to be able to stay close. So messages don't necessarily have to be an hour before you get the point, right? I thought I could get an amen on that. The scripture teaches us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So to bear one another's burdens mean that we are carrying the weight of someone else. We are assisting them. When there is a problem and someone has a need, you step in there and help them out. That's what bearing one another's burden is. But the text this morning is in Ephesians, and I know we'll get here eventually in our Bible study. But it's in the fourth chapter of Ephesians is the text. And Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And there's lots of wonderful things in there. We'll study it later. With all lowliness. So this is how we're to fulfill our vocation. We are called to be saints. We're called to be Christians. And he gives us some information of how we can be Christians. He said, with lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. And here's the part we have the burden to share this morning is forbearing one another in love. So to bear, as I said, means to lift or to carry something for someone else. That's the lesson of bearing one another's burdens. But when we speak about or read about forbearing one another, it has more to do with you than it does the other person. When we bear someone's burden, we're assisting them, yes? But when we are forbearing with one another, it has much more to do with how we control our spirit and our attitude with the problems in other people's lives. So we're to abear and assist them when we can, but saints, we need to learn how to forbear with one another. And forbearing has to do with our spirit. In the Greek, it's a lot richer in understanding what it means in the Greek here. It means to hold oneself up under. In other words, if you're difficult, or I'm difficult, then to forbear means I am holding myself up under your weakness or your rough edges. When I'm bearing your burden, I'm assisting you. But when I'm forbearing with you, it's me holding myself up by grace. That I am not giving in and responding to you in an unchristlike manner. It means that I am giving you space and I am not living with a reactionary spirit to the needs and faults of people around me. So it also means to put up with. When you look at the Greek word, it means to put up with. Put up with one another. Now that sounds a little, can you put up with someone to be carnal about it? Well, I'm putting up with you. That's, I think, why the writer said to forbear with one another in love. That's not a carnal attitude. It's like, well, I'm putting up with you. If you look at who's sitting next to you this morning, it's like, well, I'm putting up with you. I'm doing what the Bible says. No, the scripture says to forbear one another in love. So I want us to be able to leave this morning understanding what it means to forbear with one another. And I don't want to preach so long this morning that you have to bear or forbear with me. But do you see the difference? Bearing is assisting. Forbearing is your attitude. So look in the mirror this morning. How is your forbearance? How have you been holding up under the things that might tend to grate or annoy you? Does anybody here have any annoyances in life? There, maybe someone? Any frustrations with things or people or situations? You realize the Lord wants us to have a spirit of forbearance, that I am holding up. I am not responding. An application of this, really, it's an application. But the root idea is to hold yourself back. Because when you don't hold back, what are you doing? You're responding to. So the key of forbearing is to put up with. It means to endure or to suffer. Controlling oneself. Controlling one spirit. So what are some of the weights that we need to hold up under and bear with? Other people's weaknesses. Now, is there anyone here that does not have any weaknesses? Anybody that's humanly perfect here? And if you think you are, there's such a thing called self-righteous, and we can talk about that after service. But you see, all of us have different personalities, don't we? And you know, there are some personalities that by nature of personality can kind of tend to grate on one another. And about the time you think that you're being so spiritual, and please understand, about the time, maybe you are, I hope you are, but about the time that you think you're doing the spiritual thing with the grace of God and you're bearing and forbearing with someone, the reality is they might be doing the same thing with you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not an issue that, well, I have to do all the forbearing in this situation. Really, what it comes down to is that we should be forbearing with one another. Because we all are different people. We have different personalities. We have different things that... there are some people that... they're immature. And you think, well, that's the behavior of a 7-year-old. And when you see a 40-year-old man doing it, you're scratching your head. And I've known men like this. It's like they never grew up. The toys just got bigger. And they just didn't grow up. But can I fix that? I can't fix that in anybody else. So do you know what the Lord has called us to do? Forbear with them. Because having a critical attitude is not going to solve anything. Having a critical spirit is not going to fix anything. It's just going to disturb our peace. And so Paul is saying, forbear with one another in love. So in people's weaknesses and their immaturity, have you ever met someone that has some rough edges? You say, oh, they're a little bit rough around the edges. How are we going to respond to that? Forbear with them. In love, in other words, hold up under it. Don't respond negatively to that thing. You see? And put up with it. So I'm not putting up with... Wait a minute. The Lord does want you to put up with a lot of things, saints. And that's what forbearance has to do with. Putting up with, but doing it in love. What about someone that you love that has had a rough day? Have you ever noticed that sometimes good people and saved people sometimes do something or say something that is not typical of their life? How are we going to what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do there? They were a little short. Why did they act like that? I remember a minister that I had a lot of respect for, and I was a young person. And it was time for Sunday school was over. And that particular minister was teaching. And so the Sunday school superintendent, if you want to call it, came in and said, okay, time's up. And he was going around all the classes letting everybody know. And the minister retorted with such shortness and a lack of grace. And I kind of, you know, just kind of made some sharp comment back because the time was up. And it really disturbed me. I was a young person. I was like, we shouldn't act like that, and we shouldn't. But does that mean that I should lose all respect for him and that I should? Or should I recognize that, you know what? He might have gone home and felt bad about that. He might have got home and realized, I shouldn't have responded that way. We need to forbear with one another because, saints, all of us are going to do something sometimes or say something that falls a little bit short of perfection. Am I the only one? Can I, if I went home and lived with you for a month, would I find at least once? Maybe for the day. Maybe we could start with that. But you know, it's not my job to go home with you for the day, right? But all of us, we need forbearance. We need to forbear with one another because that is not, it's not a bad thing to put up with some things. You're not going to be able to fix everything in everybody's lives. We've got a full-time job with our own lives. And so Paul is saying, forbear with one another. Sometimes people are slower to grow and recognize things in their life than what you like it. It's like it's so obvious. Why don't they change it? There are things in life I could harp on this morning, just like you could, and we could look at things and say, there's no reason why people can't change this. And I've shared this before. I literally heard the excuse of a marriage breaking up because of which side they put the toilet paper on the right. Now, there is a right side. But I mean, is that something to have a marriage argument about? I don't know why every single time. This morning, my wife doesn't even know this. This morning she got up before I did, and I was laying there in bed and I had to kind of smile. She had opened the door and I knew why she turned on the light in the hall. But I was still trying to sleep and she didn't turn it off and the door wasn't shut. I was trying to rest. And I started thinking about forbearing one another. You know, if that's the worst thing that you have to forbear, we're doing good, right? But I thought about that and I thought, you know what? Whether it's something that's so small and insignificant, I did get up and turn the light off. I thought about calling and asking her to do it, but I didn't. But do you realize that those are just insignificant things? But do you realize insignificant things cause problems in people's marriages when they don't learn to forbear with one another? Just in little things. That's just little things that should not be worth one word. Discouragement or sharp or impatient. And yet people that have not learned to extend some grace with each other. Do you realize I need your grace? I need my wife's grace. I need your grace. And you need my grace. And that's what forbearance is all about. Forbearing one another in love. And it means we can tolerate people without loving, can't we? But that's why he said do it in love. When you get that attitude, well, I'm putting up with them. No, there's a better way. And it's tied with the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to do it not just from here up, but I'm going to do it from my heart with the love of God. Lord, would you help me to be more patient? Help me to have more love and more grace, Lord, that I can be forbearing with those around me in love. Because without forbearance this morning, people tend to get irritated. Are you easily irritated? Do you realize if you're easily irritated, you need to seek the Lord to be more forbearing? You need to have more forbearance. Hold up under the weight. Yes, but if they would change that, we're talking about you bearing up under their weakness without it crushing you or pressing you down to respond in a way that you shouldn't. So people can be very irritated without forbearance. Tend to be very critical people, tend to not have a lot of forbearance. Tend to be very critical. And have you noticed that critical people, a lot of times, they're criticizing people at church for the very things that they're doing themselves. That's what I've noticed. People that tend to get critical, and it's like, well, if they did this and they did this, it's like, well, what are you doing? And then people that are critical, have you ever had to start withdrawing from someone that was critical? It's like that all the time, it was always negativity. It was always tearing people down. It was, well, they did this and they said that. And then those same people are like, well, people just aren't being friendly to me. Well, what do you mean? If you're criticizing everybody all the time, and we had a situation recently, it's like it was this one and that person and this congregation and that. And it's like, well, what do you expect? The answer is learning to forbear with our differences. Learning to be forbearing in our uniquenesses and with our weaknesses. And the places that your companion, your children, your spouse, the congregation, the people you work with, understanding and learning to appreciate the differences rather than allowing the differences to grate on you. See, that's what forbearance is about. I knew this message probably wasn't going to get anybody jumping up and down with a lot of loud amens. But I hope that we can get hold of this in saying, Lord, help me to be more forbearing. Help me, Lord, in my own life. Gossip. If you are forbearing with someone in love, what does that do to gossip? It kills it off, doesn't it? Well, it's true, though. Do you know gossip can be gossip even if it is true, right? And so that's where we need to be careful, that we don't, under the guise of sharing a prayer request, I think someone mentioned that, maybe Brother Max, you mentioned that a week or two ago, under the guise of spiritual, I'm just putting in a prayer request, and really what you're doing is sharing the problems of other people. You take it to the Lord. You don't need to publicly let everybody know that you know their problems, okay? Because that's not forbearing with one another. But if I'm forbearing, I'm holding up under. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to be gossiping about. But I want to be a positive influence on others around me. Folks, that takes grace of God in our lives, doesn't it? These things don't always come easily. But this is what brings fellowship. It's what brings fellowship in the home. You can go to all the marriage seminars and all of the, get all the self-help books you want. But folks, the simplicity of the grace of God, and this is one of them. Lord, help me to be more forbearing. Help me to hold up and put up with and endure and suffer some things with a good attitude. And you'll find it goes a long way in relationships. When someone doesn't have forbearance, it causes suspicion, causes harsh words, things to be said that hurt others' feelings. How many times have you heard of someone coming up to someone and making a comment, just a comment, and walking away and that person struggling for a long time over what they said to me? Now, we shouldn't wear our feelings on our sleeves. That's a whole other subject. Don't be so easily offended. You know, don't, my dad used to say, don't wear your feelings. Some people, my dad used to teach us, some people just have their feelings like this, just waiting to be hurt from people. And when you've been hurt from this one and that one and that one and that one, you know where the problem probably lies? Probably lies with ourselves. And yet, the comments that people make sometimes, it's a lack of forbearance. It's a lack of forbearance. We need to be forbearing with one another, saints. Give each other room to be different. Give each other room for our rough edges. Give each other room for our differences of personality, our differences of perspective, our differences of thought. I don't know if you all have any squeaky floorboards in your house. When we changed our carpet a few years ago, I asked them, I said, can you kind of try to get these squeaky boards down? And they let me know we can try, but it's not going to work. In other words, unless you take it up and you put some things under it, you know, we can reattach and we can put some screws down, but it's probably not going to completely take care of your problem. So I wonder if anybody has any squeaky boards in your life. We're talking about forbearing now. So it's like a house. You know, you can fix it someday. You have a squeaky board, and every time you step on it, it squeaks or groans. But you don't sell the house because of it. Well, I've got a squeaky board. You don't sell the house. You don't tear the house up. You don't tear the floor up. You don't complain about, at least I hope you don't. I hope you don't complain about every time you step on that board. Oh, it's a squeaky board. Every time. Now that reminds me that my children or my daughter and wife are smiling. There's a house that I talked about we should have bought. And every time I do it for their benefit. Every time we walk by, I say, should have bought it. But that's not the squeaky board. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying though that if you learn to live with it, right? You learn to live with a squeaky floor. And people are the somewhat same way. Everyone has a squeaky board in their life. Someone's weakness, someone's rough edge. Forbearance is not pretending that there's not a squeak, all right? Forbearance is not pretending there's not a squeak, but it's learning to accept it. It's learning to live with it. This love lets you walk over those squeaky places without making noise of your own. Did you get that? Forbearing one another in love lets you walk across squeaky places without making noise of your own. This is not passive this morning. And this is why the scripture contextually in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians says that love suffers long, it's kind, it's not easily provoked, or one translation better is not provoked. It beareth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's this endurance. This is this forbearing one another in love. So forbearance, I think we got the message. You get the message? Forbearance is self-restraint. Holding yourself up by God's grace, motivated by love. It's not holding others up. It's holding yourself up under them. That's forbearance. Another scripture says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Paul tied those two together too, over in Colossians. Forbearing one another and forgiveness. It goes together, doesn't it? And how often are we to forgive each other? How often do you forgive the squeaky board that's in your life? Sometimes it's 7 times 70 in a day because you're walking over that spot over and over and over, and it always squeaks. So that's why forgiveness goes with forbearance. It's learning to live with the weaknesses and rough edges of others without you making a sound. All right, we will close with 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. That does not mean hiding a blind eye. It does not mean excusing it, but it means love covers. All right? It means that everything that's wrong, the faults, the mistakes, the sin, everything else, there is a covering protection of love. So Paul teaches us to bear with one another, whereas Peter taught us to cover one another. Cover one another with love. So I just like to encourage us as we bring the service to a close. Let's be a people who bear and cover. Let's be a people that forbear and cover one another under the umbrella of love. It doesn't mean everything you do is right. It's like, well, Brother Michael, if you don't point it all out, you're not. No, I can look at your mistakes, but I'm going to see them under the umbrella and covered by love and then forbear with you. Would you be willing to do some forbearing with me? You said, Brother Michael, we started that a few minutes ago. We did that last, we've done that a long time. Do you know that's what life is about? If you want a strong marriage, you want strong relationships, you want fellowship among the people of God, we have to learn to forbear with one another. Amen.